Let's begin with our first panelist, Lou.
Yes. Are you some sort of artist?
Yes.
Are you Hitler?
No, they already said my name's Hardy White.
Okay, pass.
Butchie?
I judge, by the way you speak and the content of what you say, that you do something that would annoy me.
Yeah, probably.
I also surmise that whatever you do is something that I would have not the least interest in.
Yes, that's probably true.
Did you invent, market, and then sell glow-in-the-dark flatware?
No. Don?
Question.
Don, you don't have to preface your question with the word question.
Ah, that was going to be my question. Good. Now, what are you? You see, in the real estate profession, I have to make an assessment of someone by looking at them. I have to use their physiognomy to give me clues as to their profession so I can exploit that and know what kind of house to sell them. I wouldn't want to show a glazier a house with mediocre windows, so it's something I must find out immediately and trust my senses. So I'm looking at your face, sir, and thinking, are you a glazier?
No, not even. That's not close.
All right, panelists, since none of you have guessed, Hardy White, tell us, what is it that you do?
Yes, I'm a sort of, so I have, well, I have a show on radio. I also, it's not that easy to say, really. Where'd everyone go?
Where am I? Who am I? What is this place that's the same as where am I? What am I? I am new to the world. My eyes are opening for the first time. And I look around and I see what I think are others. Why, this must be my family. Ah, it's my family, my people. Who am I? Ha ha, well, I am one of them. I will adopt their ways. They will teach me their language and their customs and their values. I will act the way they act. I will do the things that they do. And then they will love and accept me, and they will not cast me away because I am new to this world. I am helpless. How could I fend for myself? I'm glad I have this group of people. I bet that's my aunt, Marty. I don't know anybody yet. I haven't met anyone. I know they'll be introduced to me, and then some of them I won't see for many years, and then they'll say, "Do you know who I am?" And I'll be embarrassed. Even though, why would I? I was little. You know what? Maybe I'm not new to this world. I certainly have a lot of memories for someone who's new to this world. Is this my family or not? What if I adopt their values and it conflicts with something I already know? Oh my gosh. You know, I may be a tiny baby, but I've already seen Godfather and Godfather Part 2, and I know the perils of family loyalty. Oh, I'm independent. I need no family. I do need them for a while, though. Where am I now? I'm somewhere else. I'm in a sort of limbo because my family's gone off somewhere to celebrate my birth. I will constantly, I believe, for the rest of my life, be looking for those answers of who I am. And like I mentioned about the Godfather, you might say, well, I guess now I am a murderous gangster. How about that? I could have been farming. Could have been anything. We could have been some people have a tradition in military or legal profession or delicatessen work. Who knows? And you follow in the, they say, follow in the footsteps of the person in front of you, your ancestors. And that is because, well, that way you don't step on anything, because you could step on something, the equivalent, the moral equivalent of a pop top with your bare feet. That used to be a thing on the beach in the 70s. They'd say, be careful, because we're in the 70s and they have removable pop tops and you could step on one. And I believe even Jimmy Buffett mentioned the seriousness of it in one of his songs. He said, hey, don't do that. Make sure you don't do that. Wear flip-flops or something. They didn't have Crocs, so they were like, wear flip-flops. I'm learning these ways as I come into life. Well, the family's the first thing. That's going to be my first identity. I guess I can't get away with it, my little tiny baby. And I'm going to have to do the stuff my family does. You know, they dress a certain way, their traditional costume. Even if I'm, imagine that. They wear some large woolen hat, and I'm allergic to wool. How about that? And I got to do it anyway. Or they have some, or the murder for hire or something like that. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know that I'm into that. But it's the family tradition. Or very spicy food or very bland food. You don't know what you're going to get. Now, some people move away from that. By the time you get to a certain age, you go, well, I don't feel as if the family I have been born into, the Munsters or the Kennedys, really is me. And so then we go off to school. Let's go off to school, shall we? Ah, here we are. I'm now in school. And maybe I can learn a new identity. Because of the people at home, clearly, now that I've met others, I'm thinking it's probably not good to have all of my values and everything and all, especially maybe taste in pants. Maybe it's just that. So I love my family, the good people. I see them all the time, but I refuse to wear the type of pants that they wear. That's where I drew the line. Isn't that funny? It could be something else, though, like I don't share their religion or something like that. My family wears shoes. I will not wear shoes, or I will only wear one shoe. So you take what you can. So you go off to school. You say, well, now school, I got to fit in there. And they sort of insist on it. I noticed that almost immediately in school. So we're going to insist on you fitting in. And you go, I don't know how that feel about that. Because I have some of that at home. But then occasionally there's places I can go in the house where I can free myself of it. And they say, not here. And I go, well, there's no little tiny little, I can't crawl into a little hole in the attic or something. And they go, no, you got to stay in one room in plain sight. I say, what do you think I want to do? But there you go, and they round you up, and what it was football. And no, it was school. And they have you there, and you have to conform largely. And you say, well, oh, everybody's against that. Well, that's a type of conformity. Say, oh, I'm going to go along with this, but I'm not for it. You and everybody else. So there we are, and we learn to put up our hand when we want to speak, and then we forget the speaking part, and we just put up our hand all the time. Say, why are you doing that? I don't even remember. They call. I'm just used to doing it. It's like getting in line. I'm going to go ahead and do it in case it's something I do want to say something. Get the hand up now. Get in the line now in case it's something I desire. Is it going to the bathroom? I could probably do that. That's a funny thing. You know, relieving yourself used to be, as a baby, I feel very natural. So for instance, I'd go like that. That was the time. That's the lapse. I have to go. I go. But then there became this insistence that I do it in a certain way or a certain fashion. And they said, well, you have to go into one of these receptacles, and you go, okay. Well, how prevalent are they? Fairly. What do you mean? Can I just go anywhere? No. Into one of these semi-prevalent receptacles. Now, sometimes you have to really, really look for them. You go, well, that's silly, because everybody has to go. And yet, you know, why make it so scarce? I think that also about houses. They go, oh, it's 3-bedroom 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And I go, that is not my urinating, defecating to sleep ratio. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. That seems like too much sleeping and not enough going. But they make it rare. I think because we don't want to admit that anybody, let's have them, but maybe nobody really uses them. Yes, you're making us do it. I'm not saying I'm for free to just go in wherever you want. I realize that's not an option. But can we, you know, maybe understand that there should be tens of millions more bathrooms than there are. They should be everywhere. But that's just me saying that. But there you go. You pick up a value. You go, well, that is now my value is that. You shouldn't. I heard that your bladder could explode on a car trip or something if you don't pull over. You got that horrible feeling. Now imagine any other animal being put in a position where you go, how did that gazelle die? It held its urine until it perished. That's not possible. Who taught it that? I don't know. See, I don't get it. But go along with it. I'm not saying that holding, you know, not peeing your pants is the equivalent of being in the mafia. I know that I'm really coming close to saying that. But I don't think that's what I am saying. I'm saying we come into this world and then we are offered certain values and certain allegiances. And to get people to like us, we behave a certain way. And aren't we then sort of at the mercy of those things that we must adapt to do? Even though they say, I will wear pants as is the custom of your people. Well, good, because it's not up for debate. Yes. However, I'm not going to say it's rubbing in such a way that my skin, which I was not born with pants on. See, this is something that's been added to me. And it's, I don't know that I've evolved to have some parts of my skin rub up against, I don't know, the fur of another creature or plants. But I know that I got to do that, and I'm fine with that. I'm not, covering yourself just with your hands or something would get tedious, because at some point I'd want to hold a cup of coffee and gesture. And so a good skirt is good for that. Maybe not pants, though. But these have not been options that are offered. Or, for instance, at school, there's a rigid dining. They don't call it dining. The rigid eating schedule. So, well, maybe I'm not hungry right now. All human beings are different. So you've got to have your meal now. This is when we eat. And this is like going or sleeping, too. This is when we sleep. I'm not tired. Sleeping time. This is so odd. And I don't know, again, they make the mistake of teaching you about other creatures. And you say, well, are we similar to them? Yes. Well, why don't we do these things? Oh, because we are also our ancestors bred with angels. Yes, because that makes sense now. I knew we were different than the other animals. Because look, we have wings. We have beautiful wings. Do we have insect wings or bird wings? There's not much of the angel left. But we are different, I guess. And the school will teach us that. Sometimes they'll have uniforms. That helps. And say, now I belong. And I go, yes, you will always belong with your school identity. You've got your real mater. Yeah, my mater, my father, and my mater. And your alma mater, or your other mother. That's why one time when John Wayne was very drunk and he was talking to a bunch of students, he was like, that other mother university, alma mater. So I hope I haven't said anything bad about Marion Middleton or whatever his name is. His real name wasn't John Wayne. The real John Wayne was a real person in an alternate universe. And that person you wouldn't even recognize. I've been there. But here I am now, and how strange it is. If you've seen other ways, if you've been to other ends of the universe, other alternate universes, other timelines, you see, wow, everything isn't as set in stone as you think. You know, there's other ways to do things and to conceive of things. And they're not necessarily bad. You know, it's just that I wanted to fit in school. And they kept telling you tales of being ostracized. Like the boy who cried wolf and everything like that. I realized that there's a... He seems like he deserved it. But I feel like also they had a really bad system going. And he's just... we test alarms all the time. This is what I don't get about the boy who cried wolf. They teach you about the boy who cried, don't do that. And then they have, oh, it's fire alarm. And you go, oh, dang, dang. And they go, no, it's not real. It's a drill. Well, what? That's the same thing. How are you not doing it? The next time that thing rings, I'm not going anywhere. And then it really will be the wolf slash fire. But I tried to fit in school. I think I did a fairly good job because what you're surrounded with are other individuals who are also trying to fit in. So you have that in common. And they're also filled with fear. And also, nobody can really describe or understand their personality disorder yet. So, whee! They're just in the, you know, it's just like puppy personality disorders. They're roaming free and doing whatever they want. And nobody thinks it's unusual. So everybody's crazy is doing great things. It's not, we haven't gone into puberty crazy. Maybe we have. That's a good stage there. And then we start searching for identities outside of school, because eventually we're going to leave this school. And our identity here, I am the left guard, or I'm the right guard. That was a deodorant in my day. For the football team.
What does that mean? That you make their armpits smell good?
First of all, yes. But then, you know, you're one thing in high school, and they have superlative. When you get to be a senior, they even get you an award. So you've done one thing so consistently, you've mistaken your identity for a personality trait so consistently throughout your time here at the school that we're going to put like an honorific and then, you know, what you are, like Mr. Clown, Mr. Clowny Clown, because that's who you thought you were. And so you acted the fool for your whole 4 years. So there you go, class clown. Now, you over here, you put all of your energy into athletics, because that's the people who were counseling you against being a bully thought, well, this will give them some release. They can hit other students who want to be hit instead of the ones who don't. And so they put you over there on the... And now you are a class athlete or something like that. I could go down the list of... I went to a very small school, so they were down to like best nose and eyes, and I'm not even kidding. And we were like, well, if everybody gets an award, it isn't true that if everybody gets one, no one gets one. If everyone gets one, everyone gets one. If no one gets one, no one gets one. So that's a different thing. I'm just saying they aren't the same thing. What you want is scarcity of something. I think that's what you're saying. If everybody has diamonds on the soles of their shoes, we're all Paul Simon. I don't know that he's singing about himself, is he? He might be. You wouldn't know until he crossed his legs. And you'd go, son of a gun, dog, you're blind. Paul, put your foot down. You know what? A, this solves the solution of who scratched my glass floor. B, because first of all, Paul, there's a shark tank under it. And if you're going to walk on it with those shoes... So that infuriates me. And two, it's a waste of those. Those could be used for something, for crown jewels, for a brand new nation. And here you are wearing them like on your slippers or whatever those things are. Good gosh. I don't want to judge. I've had little stones on my soles of my shoes before, though. And you wonder what's going on here. It's like wearing taps. You get a little stone in the tread. You know, I'm making some noise here. That's how tap dancing was not invented that way. So I'm like, I got some kind of metal plate stuck to my shoe. I think I'll clog. And then the clogging sounded better. Clog has a lot of meanings, because it could be
It's to a dance where you stomp your feet, and it's also like what if take one of those shoes and shove it down a pipe, maybe of the windpipe of the person clogging. And then you'd solve two things with one stone is the expression. It's not expression. Something, two birds. Oh, no, I don't want anything to happen to birds. What could you solve with two stones? Two stone beats scissors. Two scissors, one stone. I finally left school and I entered the world of high finance. And by high finance, I mean I got a job at the mall or something. I don't remember what happened. Well, you leave school, you think, well, this is it. Here, I'm in the world now. And people give you... I was misled because when I graduated high school, I was given what I was told was an executive pen and pencil set. And I imagined that that meant I was just a few steps away from having a large mahogany desk on which to put it. Hear how I constructed that. This was not the case. Also, I had no use for those. I was instructed to buy calling cards when I graduated with high school, too, with my name in a beautiful cursive font on it. So if I was to, you know, here is my calling card and my letter of introduction from the, you know, from the Baron sister. I don't know. It didn't happen that way. Just went, I guess I got a job at the mall. And then that felt great for a while. You say, they're paying me. And I go right there, get a slice of pizza, work pizza. What else is there? And then eventually you think, I'm not going to have a place to live soon. So it's going to be work, pizza, rent. And one of those things is going to have to go. And I bet it's the pizza. And I'll just be sitting in my cold apartment. So I thought, maybe I got to do something. What should I do? And then I thought about the crime family that I'd been born into. No, that didn't happen. You want to turn to your family and go, why wasn't I here about these family businesses? You think, gosh, if only. Because I would be so good at running a large candy factory or something like that, or toys. And I would say, you're the next, here you go, Hardy, here's the keys. Papa's dead, but you get the candy factory. And then I say, first of all, I want to talk to everybody, and I'm, you know, let's go ahead and join that union now. I'm going to, you know, there's a new owner in town with the candy. So things are going to run differently around here. And then I would run the factory. Or let's see, there's some things I wouldn't want to inherit the family business. Barnstorming or something like that. I'm a timid person and I don't know any kind of stunt flying. You're a third generation stunt flyer. Oh, I wish I weren't. Can I not be? What do you want to do? I don't know. So instead of a career, you're saying, I don't know. I'm just going to go wander around, I guess. Like, that doesn't seem like a good... Now, if you had an option, I realize that. You'd feel better if I had a choice. I just know I don't want to do this one thing, but I don't know what the other thing I want to do is. So, maybe it could be a band leader. All right, like Frank Sinatra Jr. I think that's what's happening. It's like the story of Isaac. Perhaps I will dig my father's wells over again, redig them. I will live in Abraham's shadow. Oh, what a large shadow Abraham cast. Isaac only thought he's blind because Abraham's shadow was so dark. Ooh, has anybody ever said that before? Call your pastor right now. Hello. I'm a congregant. I'm sorry to wake you. No, nothing's wrong. I'm one of your congregants, and I was just listening to a radio show I like called Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. And he doesn't usually say the name of the show in the middle of it. That's usually something you say at the end with the call letters. But he was on there saying something, and he had this quote about Isaac. No, in Bible Isaac, not Hayes. Right, exactly. And he said this, and now I don't remember what it was, but I'm going to go ask him again, and I'm going to call you back in the morning and tell you. That's exactly right. I know it's technically morning. again, I'm sorry, pastor. And you may not even be my pastor, too. I just opened the phone book. So you go back to sleep. Nothing's wrong. And even if it is, I know it can wait. I know your motto. All deaths can wait till morning. Of course they can. There's nothing pressing there. So if anybody's ill or anything, I'll let you know. And good night. Click. I moved on then. And I stepped out into a world of the arts. I thought, if I cannot find my identity, if I cannot mimic the community around me, I shall look to the past through the lens of creative energy. I shall use art to find myself. It will be the mirror. It will be the compass. It will be the divining rod for my a thing where you look for water with a, man, that was a beautiful articulate thing I was going out, and I forgot the word. I forgot a word, and it stopped me. And so now I'm just going to go have a rest, and y'all continue the show without me. I'm sorry. I've lost myself again. I've lost my train of thought. I never lose my train of thought. You can't. You can't, because you're hooked to it. You think you've fallen off the train. But really what's happened is that your scarf has caught on the window. And you're being dragged like Isadora Duncan. So you're not on the train, but you're not away from it either. You just have to pull yourself back into it. That's all. And I pull myself back into it by understanding that when I drift off like that, it is because I have been sent that way, or a message from my brain that says, in this search for identity, you must look in all little places. You got to go down every alley, even if it means coming back up the alley. That's when you look for something. That's a good analogy. Analogy to what? I don't know yet, but it'll fit something. You go down a street that you don't know to see if it has what you need or what you're looking for. And when you don't find it, and that's a dead end, you got to walk back that same street. Now what are you still looking? You're still looking on a street that you know doesn't have what you're looking for, unless it's appeared there while you were walking the other direction. What are you talking about? Right now, just walking. But it could be about looking for your identity. We struggle with this. If I knew who I was, I would just fit in. If I could join something and have a uniform, I'd be that uniform. People become interested in history, and then some of them want to recreate it by actually dressing up like those people. I can gain an identity from the past, even. I'll bring it, I'll rip it into the future so that I can be that, because I don't see any group I like here right now, so I'm going to join a group that doesn't exist anymore. And I'm going to bring them back from history into the present. And I will become part of something, but it's a chain that's been broken. So I don't know anybody. I celebrate the ancient religion. Oh, and who taught it to you? I bought a book and I read about it. And it hasn't been practiced for hundreds of years. So that chain has been interrupted. Yes, the time worm is broken. Is it the same thing? Have I just made a new tradition out of whole cloth? It's hard to say. What is my identity? I'd like to talk about speaking for a moment, because as we drift away from family and school and community and art and history, we often forget that the very language we use, the way we use it, not just our instrument, not just the music it plays, but the way it plays the music, the timbre, all those things. Those are subtle choices. You've chosen to have your accent, for instance. Well, that's how I learned English. Yes, but you see, since you've been learning it too, and your brain hasn't shut off. So you can learn French, right? So, Well, I have a thick, thick accent from where I'm from.
All right, I understand that. I can't speak any other way. All right.
But you learned French in high school.
Oh, je parle français.
Well, now, hang on now. I'm speaking it, though, with. I refuse to make vowel sounds differently than I made them when I was an infant or something. I can't see. That's not the case for everyone. It is, you can learn to not to speak a different way. It's a choice.
I just cannot make those French sounds.
Well, probably baloney. But we're all mimics. That's what helps us survive, you know. It gets harder to mimic accurately as you get older. I understand that. I can't. If I was to learn a language now, it would never sound like a native speaker. And I've noticed people don't even sound alike in the same towns anymore, really. That's fine. But they start to sound like one another if they hang out, though. There's that. That's beautiful, and that's on purpose. Because that's a uniform. It's a language uniform, sound uniforms. We have them. We all do it. We all nod and wink to each other that it's okay. We're taking, I'm no threat.
I'm no threat.
There you go. That's my I'm no threat. So I hear that voice. I say, oh, it feels like home. I'm no threat.
I am no threat. I am one of you. Ha ha. Lift our glass. Ha.
Cheers. Oh, no. A robot has infiltrated us. And I don't, his cold, icy tones and the monotone there, that scares me. He is not one of us. He does not sing the music of camaraderie. He is merely stating these words. He doesn't understand us. He doesn't fit in. He's an other. Get him. Oh, you were once another. You forget what it's like and you still are another. You are another disguised as one of these. I can rip that star right off your chest, Sneech. Sleech, Sneech, Sneech, I forget which one it is. Right off your belly. Oh, yes. Oh, the corvid, you have no identity upon one who has a liver. That's about it. One who has a spine, you are a vertebrate. One who has, walks up and has little canine things and everything. I don't know, you're an ape. You are an ape. And I am an ape. And for some reason, we pee in closets. We make sure they have a bowl in them, but that's what we do. And I make it a point to, I want to just take people on it. Everyone's going in the woods at some point, but maybe it's good therapy for some. Say, I'm going to take you out. You know what you need? What? You need to just go in the woods. All right? You don't have to clean yourself up with, we'll bring pop, you know, toilet paper and everything. You don't have to. It's just the air, I guess, or the wind or the earth or something that's earth. And we can't all do that. Not everybody want to do that. It's like when you blow something up for entertainment. We don't want everybody to do a giant explosion just for fun. That's just a special occasion. Say, we're going to blow up a couch or something. And we can't do that with all couches. So this is just something to take people out, have them move their bowels in the wilderness. Not even the wilderness. It could just be, we could just fence off a park. And then, you know, I haven't thought it through. Why? I haven't thought anything through. Isn't that fun? I don't really go through a thing. I feel like I'm more of a scan everything. I feel I'm scanning life. Don't you? So how's life so far? I don't know. I leafed through it. It looks good. I just kind of went, blah, 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 blah. And I went to all the pictures. Is that dumb? I went all the pictures, and I went all the figures. Oh, that's, look at that chart. That's brilliant. And then, I don't know. I didn't get to the details. I should have. I scan everything. I went fast. I hit fast forward through a lot of it because I was like, blah, 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 blah. And there you go. I guess I should have just, if I just watched it more slowly. I wish I could save her things. We might not even have need for a lot of problems would go away. Maybe we could save her things, do things more slowly. I'm not advocating for it because I would, you'd say, show me how. And I go, I don't know how. I'm just saying, show me how to save her life, Hardy, and do things more slowly and have a more, to and your attention span. I go, I wish I could. But I could say I love tightrope walking, but I'm not the one who can instruct you to do it. But could you, maybe you could look into getting lessons, and then I'll watch. So I wouldn't mind watching you, you know, complete a thought. I just can't do it. Oh, I wander with no direction sometimes. Sometimes I'll do that around the neighborhood. I'll say, I'll take a walk. Has this happened to you? You go out to take a walk, you say, I'm going to wander. With no direction, unknown, like Mark Dillon says. He says, I'm going to wander like a rolling stone. I don't know. But here's the thing about a rolling stone. It just kind of goes with gravity. It just takes the path of least resistance. It doesn't wander at all, rolling stone. Just blah, blah, blah. So that's the thing that happened to me. I go out to take a walk, and I end up just going like around the block in the same pattern I always go. Because what happens is I stop thinking about where I'm going, and I sort of go on autopilot, and my body just goes, okay, we'll go the route that we usually jog. And there you go. And I don't wander. And if I was in the moment or something, that's different. But then I'm actively thinking. So is it wandering? Because then I'm doing it with a purpose. I go, you better turn left instead of right, or you won't be wandering. Well, now that is purposeful and with a direction. Hardy, you are probably, I don't often compliment myself, but I understand I am probably one of the thinkers of my time. And so are you. We are thinking. We're one of the thinkers. And we're all thinking. I wonder if any of us are thinking anything close to anything but an impression of our experience. I can't imagine anybody saying anything mildly accurate about reality. But maybe they are. Maybe it's just me who feels confused, who doesn't know who they are, who doesn't know even at a party what to say they do. That's why I think a lot of people take jobs that have, they go, I will take this job, I can do it. Does it have a title? They go, well, I don't know. If that, make up a title. Tell me the title of this job. Okay, engineer, it's got engineer in it. Good start. You know, opportunity engineer, excellent. Thank you. And who knows what the job is, but I've got to have that because I'm going to be asked for it at parties and in situations. And it really is tough to not have an identity. I've gone through, you have too. This is why we're speaking. And everybody else has stopped listening. Going through those periods where you go, I don't know that anybody's going to be interested in me because I don't know that I have an identity, you know, particularly. Gosh, I'm not in. My family's not interesting. I don't do a thing. I don't have a profession. I don't live in a cool place. I don't have a hobby. Am I a human being even worth talking to? And so you get in a situation, and somebody drags you. Come to the party anyway. All right, but I know that my soul will be crushed. So you go, and you feel. You think, well, this is ridiculous to be this self-conscious. I'm just a human being like everybody else. Right? And yet, you still at some point realize that people do have some sort of preconceptions about how to connect with somebody and find whether they're interesting or not. And they will jump immediately to things that have been given to them by their family. So they might say, do you have a family? Are you married? Do you have children? Where do you live? Like, that might be important to somebody. They go, what's your profession? Where do you work? Like, that kind of thing. But it's always something formed by their own value, identity value. Are you taking notes? Is everybody writing? This is all going to be, first of all, I put this all up on the website. Y'all can look at it later. And right now, let's just do an experiment. Everybody look at the table. I've got a vat full of volatile chemicals, and I'm going to put different types of oranges, like a Satsuma and all the navel, all types of oranges This gnarly one's a Florida juice orange. It looks, can you believe it? They cook them. And then I'm going to put it in these chemicals, and somebody in The Godfather's going to die. I don't know if you notice, every time there's an orange, there's a death. Or somebody is imperiled. More likely there's an assassination. Orange means assassination, which is rough for me because the orange in my own personal mythology means something different. It means like Prokofiev for the love of three oranges. I'm sort of obsessed with that. I'm also obsessed with a particular story that I read in a book of French fairy tales. I had seen that the love of three oranges was itself an old fairy tale, and I looked it up, and it had to do with opening these oranges, and there'd be a lady in it, and she'd shrivel up unless you gave her water or something, blah, blah, blah. But I checked a book out of that library, and it had another story in it. And it was about this person who had been cursed by a witch, all right? And they something bad was happening to him, and they had to go and go on a quest then to destroy the witch. So they had to get advice and get something from the four winds, from the mothers of the four winds. So the person went off and they went to the north wind. And I'm going to cut the story short. But at the end of the story, they had like a rope, a comb, a piece of meat, and some grease or something like that. Four things that made no sense. But see, when they went to the witch's castle, these were all the missing pieces of things that they needed, tools that they needed to unlock certain doors, so that the meat was used to distract her killer dogs, things like that. The rope was used to get up her stairs that disappear when you try to climb them. So we receive things sometimes during our life, and we don't realize they're going to come in handy later. And one of those things is our ability to mimic and to change and to adjust and to grow, I think. And we think that's not going to come in handy once we settle on something. I finally know who I am. I am Judge Samantha Bobbinshake. And I know as Judge Samantha Bobbinshake exactly who I am. I'm from the Cran Mission Bobbinshakes. From Cran Mission Galanza, I mean. I don't know where that is. But I have a strong identity, and we like to eat lots of starchy foods, and we put pungent fish sauce on our heads as we do it or something. But if you have that, you feel real strongly about knowing who you are. And so sometimes it's difficult to change or adjust when someone tells you you have to not be that person for a while, or to move into this area, you're going to have to leave that behind because you don't know. For instance, say my people wear this hat, the sharp hat, the sharp sticky pokey hat. You go, well, that's very nice. But we are going into the land of the gentle balloon people. And your sharp, sticky, pokey hat, which is merely sort of good luck or decoration to you, is part of my culture. I realize that. But it could kill the gentle balloon people. And that's certainly not what the intent of wearing the hat was to be. So as much as it pains you, let's to show our love. And for the balloon people, let's not wear our pokey spiky hat. Can you do that? I guess so. See? Oh, it feels scary to be nothing. It feels scary to be a cloud. I am a cloud, but I admit that sometimes I look like an elephant. When you look up to the sky, you may see something and go, that is a saxophone sitting on a shrimp, right? But really, it's a cloud. And maybe looked at from a different angle, it's doing something differently. Oh, the clouds that we see in our lives, do they have to be shapes?
Can they just be a wispy thing? Float on, and then state your horoscope, sun sign, I think they call them, and then, I don't know, say something fun, and then we're going to do it to a beat. I like being a human being with you. Fran, I assume that most, I know that it's not just humans listening. We have some bird friends and dog and cat friends that listen, and maybe some other, I don't know, some other creatures that might be listening too. And they'll probably having a different experience. They might not, it might just be the sound of my voice. They like, I don't want to sound like a hurt dog. I don't want to concern the dogs. Mostly express concern. You know, unless you're offering them something to eat, all those sounds are like, is this something I should be worried about? So I don't want to stress the pups out. Maybe just a nice calming puppy in the womb sound would be nice for them. But for my human beings, I do want to do something. I do want to reach out and speak to you in my limited human being fluency and say this. I understand how hard it is to not fit in or think you fit in or know where you fit in or know the answers to who you are. What am I supposed to do or who am I supposed to be? And I understand that sometimes, even though that you know that you don't know, you got to act like you know. And that can be painful too. I have to act as if I fit in. There are people listening to my voice right now. I understand this. For whom this is actually a serious question. They could not leave a group that they're in right now. They wouldn't know what to do, how to survive even. They've become so dependent on it for their identity that there isn't even a choice of not being in the group. That's scary. You know, it doesn't have to be by force. You just say, I couldn't. How do I be alone? Blah, blah, blah. You're a blah, blah, blah? No, I got a friend who's a blah, blah, blah. And some people are content to be, say, I like my part of my identity in my cargo cult or whatever it is. I don't think that's cargo pants cult, maybe it is. We're just so, it's hard not to worship certain items of clothing. We started as a halter top cult, and then we were like, no, there's better items. What's the best item of clothing? I would say just like a long, fairly long, a mid-calf skirt. Protects. I mean, you know, it's nice to have some things protected. And who among us, you know, there's tender parts of your thigh. I'm not going to lie. So, but something that's just that comes down to just, you know, enough to cover the stuff that, and then I don't get, who gets cold knee down? And then your feet you want covered. So shoes are good. I dig shoes. I'm for shoes. And we haven't made a good one yet. But keep going. And then like something to wrap around you. And then on top, a blanket. Maybe or a big blanket or just a blanket you can put in all sorts of configurations. I don't know. That's just me. But I guess it's not up for a decision that I've gone to the men's suit store and everything. They pretty much don't even have anything that's not gray or blue or black. So they're probably not going to have a lot of variations. Isn't that? I find it sad. It's discouraging to me. Whenever you get anything, say, I need something you need, like clothes or something. People tell me I got to wear clothes. So let's have some fun ones or something. Hard to find. I want a fun place to live. Ooh, you're lucky to find a place to live. It's funny because you'd think we'd have a lot because people need them. I don't understand. But I do know a lot of the things that we've inherited then are not so great. And there's no reason to cling to them. So you seem to live out there in weird wah-wah-la-la-da-da land. Yes, I do. Because my crazy world makes as much sense as your crazy world. At least I know I'm lost. There's nothing worse than somebody who doesn't know they're lost, thinks they know where they are. That's scary.
Ignorance disguised as confidence is dangerous. Ignorance that calls itself by its real name. What? Ignorance is not as ignorant as you'd think it would be. Oh, you know what makes it good for me? All this. You say, well, you're lost and everything. You're not making it sound so hot. I will say this. If you can get to connect with other people and look them in the, not, you don't have to literally look them in the eye, but somehow connect with them emotionally. And if you can both come to an understanding of the scariness and the vulnerability that is involved with being alive, then something transcendent can happen, and you can both gain a sort of strength that makes you feel as if you're outside of all that, that lifts you beyond that concern of who am I? Where am I? Oh, we are outside of time, my friend. We are outside of space. This is sacred space and time, do you understand? The clock has stopped ticking. Nothing is moving, but we are still moving. Our energy and our spirits move through it because this is sacred time. This is a moment, and it contains all of infinity. We just make ourselves dissipate. I don't need to wear the cloak of my silly caricature that I can take off my hat. Take off your hat. Raise your right hand. Oh, I love me some Sesame Street. But they always made me think that I'm going to have to choose one of six hats to wear to be a professional. And that, I'll go, well, I could be a fireman or a doctor or something. I don't think so. Just, how about just a human being? And maybe I'll do have to do different things to survive or subsist. And maybe I'll just be known by my smile and my kindness. Person is a person in your person. There is a person here. They're all people. There's a person in your area, and they're alive. They're alive because they tried and they cried and they worked, and it was hard and there was pain and there was joy and there was sorrow, and they couldn't sleep a lot, but they did, and there they are, and they're still going. And tomorrow they might be dead, but now they're not dead, but tomorrow they will be, not literally tomorrow, the big tomorrow. Oh, but today we're alive. And there's a whole box of hats. Come on and join me. Grab a hat. What are you? I'm a milkman. I'll take the same hat. I am an officer in the ice cream army. You wear it. Why is it all centered around dairy? I don't know. What else is white? Clouds. I'm a cloud kernel. I'm a cloud seed. Oh, we are all both seeds and stems, aren't we? How many of us? And you're my bud. Isn't that fun? We are all in this together. And I call us the regs, the regular folks, because that's who we are. And there might be something special about us, but only when you change the definition of special to ordinary. Even specialness is ordinary. So that boy, That Einstein was a genius. He was. Yes, he was. Consider this. What? We already had a word for genius. Oh. You understand where I'm going with that?
Oh, so he was a type.
Yes. He was also a type. Oh, Einstein was ordinary. Hey, I get these song ideas. And then I think something in my brain goes, no, you don't care. And I'll stop. I wonder if it would extend. And I kept going and say, hey, no, keep going. See if there's a whole song or something that you could sell to a television show. I always think that about years ago, I got to see the David Letterman show. And I was in the David Letterman show audience in New York City.
New York City!
In Rockland County, online. And I was in the audience, and the musical guest was Paula Cole. And she didn't want to wait for that moment. And was like, I don't know, is that Dawson's Creek or some one of the creeks? Not the one with the levees now, but a creek with levees. Isn't that funny? That just dawned on me. But it was a TV show theme, right? And I was like, boy, that's the ticket right there. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Right? One of them TV show themes. So from that point on, I went out and I bought a kazoo and a soprano harmonica and a didgeridoo for the bass parts. And I was like, I'm going to make some demos. Because first of all, I also have some TV show ideas. Hello, producers. Not the band. I've got some great... Oh, maybe the band. Call me the band, even. We'll do something together. I love you. But, yeah, let big producers and everything. I've got movie ideas, so many of them. And here's the thing. This is the beautiful thing. You won't have to pay me because you've probably had the same ideas. But I'd love to talk. I think that'd be neat. And like I said, we just find out something about ourselves. And that's what the show is like for me. Do you enjoy it?
I don't know. Enjoy is a strong word, Hardy. I know. Do you tolerate it? I have, because I have come to have affection for you, though not just short of respect.
Oh,
so it's a little bit of affection mixed with pity. So it's very hard for me to complain or have you fired.
Oh, that is such a sweet spot for me. Oh, it's like tenure. I hope that's the case. I'm going to love you now. I just love you. I'm used to you. Thank you, because the pressure to be good or you know, something like that, or thought super highly of, is immense. You know, you don't want to. I don't want it. You know, I just want love at the end of the day. Friend, every once in a while, I have a friend who's dying, or a friend's family member's in the process of dying, and you think, boy, that was quick, you know. That's just the, you know, now what's important. And it's all of this stuff that I think is I'm gnashing my teeth over at any given moment. It's just something that I could probably at a drop of a hat forget about and have something bigger breathing down my neck. So some of it I'm all cast off, you know. I feel no pressure to impress, or I feel no pressure now to describe myself accurately or to be consistent. I'm just going to be the open, and I'm just going to I'm going to be who I think that you are too. And it's a scared creature who is inexplicably occasionally happy, who is also as inexplicably occasionally terrified. And these could happen within hours, within a handful of minutes, you can have both of those feelings. That's what being human is about. And I like being human with you. I mean, we can keep doing it as long as possible. Oh, my friend, what's my line? My line is this. I love you. I love you. Keep on whatever. I hope that we meet if we haven't met. And I hope that our hearts have met. Right now, hope I've given you something, you know? So I'm like, come on in, look around the garage. I'm not even going to steer you towards anything. You grab what you want, not what you think I want you to have.
Yes, that sounds reasonable.
You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, New York, and New York City. New York and online at WFMU.org, worldwide, around the globe. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you again next week.
You know somehow I could. Don't you just see us on drugs? Would you just see us through, Lord? Lord, oh God, would you just see us through? You see, as we travel, you to do is just hold to our trembling hands. Lord, would you just see us through? Lord, I know you're an able God. Would you just see the mighty hearts through? Lord, would you guide our feet? Lord, would you shine a little heavenly light down and just guide our feet? Just guide our feet. Lord, would you just shine a little heavenly light down and guide the mighty hearts through? Lord, as we go from place to place, as we travel through this old weary land, Lord, all we ask you to do is to hold to our trembling hands and just see us on through, God. Lord, I know you're an able God. Would you just please see us on through? Lord, would you just cleanse our hearts? Lord, will you take away the evil thought and cleanse our hearts? Lord, we know, the mighty hearts know that you must have a pure heart. Would you just cleanse our heart? Lord, would you just cleanse our heart? Lord, you see, as we go from place to place, all we ask you to do is to hold. Lord, will you just hold to our trembling hands and see us on through, Lord. Special prayer. Would you just please see us on through?